Well, good morning, church. I want to welcome you to our very first West Winds online service. Yeah, it looks a little different. I've been self-isolating with my family just because of precautionary reasons. People are sick as well, so we're just kind of trying to walk through that. But I'm in your homes today from my home, and so we want to thank you for joining us today. These are difficult times right now, and we just want to continue to pray for those that are out there, the doctors, the nurses, the first responders, all those people that are dealing with all of this right now. And we want to make sure we do our best to slow down this pandemic so that those that can do the work can figure out how to treat this horrible disease. And so thank you for joining us this morning. I'm so glad you're here. We want to continue our sermon series on Great Expectations. It's our Lent series where we're moving towards Easter. We're thinking about what Christ did for us, how he died for us on the cross and then rose on the third day. And so we want to continue talking about what that looks like moving forward towards that. And today I want to look at Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. And those verses actually are pretty great, and I want to talk about a word in there, and we're going to talk about that in 1 second. But the chapter is chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, and it goes a little bit like this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. You see, during this season of preparation for Easter, we need to take seriously how God takes sin seriously. And Jesus calls everyone to repent of their sins and believe in his gospel message. But what does it mean to repent? We use that word so much in churches today. We talk about repent, and a lot of times I think the word has been taken and misused and misunderstood. And so I want to look at that a little bit today. But first, if we look at the Gospel of Mark, we realize that it is the oldest of the four Gospels in the New Testament. That means in verse 15 of this first chapter, they recorded the first words of Jesus. And so what does Jesus say in his very first response? He says, repent in verse 15. Repentance is a spiritual practice that is very important throughout the year, and especially so during this season of Lent, to understand what it means to repent. And then you carry that throughout the year. But if you don't understand it or you've misunderstood what it means, then it's a good time to revisit that. And that's why we do things like Lent, so that we can get back on track. Our lives are super busy. Things get in the way, pandemics happen, all this kind of stuff, and we get distracted. And so if repentance is a spiritual practice, and it's very important throughout the year as well as it is during this time, if it's important, it's like getting ready for a big event. It's preparation for the coming king. And so in the Old Testament, there's a word that's represented quite well, and it's the word turn. Turn in scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10, he says, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. And turn and be healed. This was a concept that the Jewish people were very familiar with, which is why when John showed up in the desert telling them to repent in Mark chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, no one was confused by his language or by what he was calling them to do. You see, repentance was at the core of the message Jesus gave his disciples while he was still alive. It was also in the book of Acts the answer that Peter provides to the crowds after they hear the message of Jesus. And in response, they say, well, what do we do? If we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, he says, when the people heard this, they were cut to heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, Peter said it. Jesus said it. Let's look at the word that they use for that, and it's the Greek word for repentance is metanoia, and it literally means to think differently afterwards, which also then results in a change of action. And so something happens and that event causes you to change your mind and you then start to think differently, to see things differently and then turn to do things differently. Very interesting how they all tie together, how the Hebrew and the Greek tie together. So you see things differently and then you turn in a different direction and you do things differently. Your actions are differently. So the idea in the Old Testament for repentance as an act of turning away from one thing and toward another is not new to the Jewish people and it shouldn't be new to us. But there is more than that than just a change of mind. There's actually an action that has to follow. You see, during this time of Lent, let's make sure that it's not an approach of self-hatred or self-punishment, that it's a time where we look down upon ourselves and treat ourselves poorly. If repentance becomes purely about punishing yourself for sin or for wrongdoings or things you've done wrong, then it becomes an overwhelmingly inward focusing type of act. And it doesn't have enough attention to what you've done to other people, the damage that you've done to other people. It's so self-reflecting. Repentance is not punishing yourself to provide or prove how sorry you are. It's a time of reflection of those wrongdoings, those sins, to repent, change in action, and to turn to Christ and accept His forgiveness and love. I can't repent for you, and you can't repent for me, but there is one thing that we can do for each other, and that is show love. And especially in this time, there needs to be a lot more of that. Okay, so now let's look at a word that's used in the Old Testament. For example, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, we see that Isaiah says this. He says, "Woe is me, for I am lost." And then he goes on to say, "For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, the Hebrew word translated as lost is a verb that means to cease to be or to destroy. And this means that Isaiah thought he was, how good he thought he was, how noble, how smart, how wise, whatever you want to call it, how he thought he was all for nothing. Because the vision that he had in this scripture of God was completely destroying his understanding of who he was as a person. That man has ceased to be. Woe is me, for I am lost. And so repentance is the realization that you are not the person you thought you were. So while we're walking through repentance, we're analyzing, checking, or something, we're like, you know what, I thought I was something that I wasn't, and actually I do this when I really should do that. I act this way when I'm around people, and I do this in private, or I treat people like this, but in my head, I don't really want, there's the conflict, and when you think about it, Paul talks about his inner struggle in Romans. He talks about the inner man, and he fights, and he doesn't want to do this, but he does that. I think it's Romans chapter 7, and so he struggles and fights. And so we do that to ourselves, but true repentance is when we come to the realization that we're not who we thought we were. And you know what? That's a good place to be. And many times that's a great place to be. We need to understand that, hey, we can always improve. We can always be moving forward. Why do you think that the positive thinking and the positive self-talk stuff out there, all the books, all the videos, all the training that's out there is so big? Because everyone wants to improve. They just don't know what to fill it with. They don't understand it. And a lot of it's so self-driven. And so do you see where it can go wrong, where we can be so self-driven to improve ourselves that we're not thinking about, well, wait a minute, what am I doing for my neighbor? And you know, if I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, am I actually doing that, or am I just saying I'm doing that? So when we repent, we look at those things we're supposed to be doing that we believe and know that God wants us to do, but we don't. And then our actions, what we do, how we act with them, how we treat other people, that's all part of it. So when we come to that understanding, we have to go, wait a minute, the person I am needs to be better. The person I am needs to think about what I've done wrong, how I'm viewing things in the eyes of God. Am I seeing them from His point of view? And so we we get that point to where we feel we're lost. We're not the person we thought we were. And this revelation that he had of the king, Isaiah had of the king, where he says, woe is me, for my eyes have seen the king. When we see God for who he truly is, we cannot walk away thinking the same thing that we thought prior to that. We can't, thinking the same things, understanding the same things. We are going to be different because we've seen the king. And so Lent can be a season that we focus on our sinfulness and then we repent from that. You know, when we are honest and repent, then we are in a position to start trusting in Christ. It's actually a moment of empowerment. It's a moment of power. The people who have the greatest impact for God and His glory never lost sight of how utterly sinful they were apart from the grace of God. And that's what we got to remember. And as the Apostle Paul, a man who authored approximately half of the New Testament, said, Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That's 1 Timothy 1:15. Repentance starts with an honest understanding of who we are. We are people who make mistakes. We are imperfect, sinful people. We have built our lives on trying to do everything our way. And when it all comes undone, who do we blame? Most of the time we look to God and we say, why have you done this to me? And we never thought that maybe we could have asked him in the first place. So think about that for a while. When we're in tough times, are we blaming God for all of this? Or maybe it's our own actions. We have to decide. And you know what? No matter what we go through, no matter what it is, whether it's pandemics, whether it's personal pain, whether it's personal hurt, we have to recognize that God has everything in control. What that looks like, we don't know. We're not the ones that write it, but He's the one who knows. And so if we put our faith in Him and trust in Him and do have common sense, you know, we're going to walk through this life a lot better than if we just rely on ourselves. What the outcome is, I don't know. For those of you that are hearing things down in the States, certain preachers are preaching, you know what, we can pray and heal this virus. You know what? I do believe God can heal anything, but this is reality. This virus is real. And so we have to take that seriously. We can't just throw these things out there and think God's going to just change it. This is happening. This is what's going on now. We have a choice to decide what we're going to do. And if you look all throughout history, you'll see there have been pandemics in the past. And you know what? Humanity came through it. Not without loss, not without hurt, not without pain, but they definitely came through it. And you know what? We can stick together and we can fight this and we can do what we need to do to help move forward in history. Pray for those that are suffering loss. Pray for those that are struggling. Pray for health. Pray for healings. Pray for all that. But recognize that God will walk us through this. What we have to answer the question is, what can we do for our community? What can we do safely? What can we do wisely? What would God want us to do in this time of need? And that's definitely something we need to think about, we need to talk about, we need to pray about. And so repentance starts with us understanding who we are. Most of the time we blame God and we shouldn't do that. We talked about that and we really need to focus on the fact that if we're putting God first, we're not here to blame Him. We're here to see what He wants us to do. And so Lent is this season where we reflect on what Jesus has asked us to do, what He's done for us. And even though we didn't deserve it, He died for us and He rose from the dead for us anyways. And so if we're honest with ourselves today, have we given our lives over to Christ, or are we still wanting to do what we want to do? Remember, when we repent, we actually change our mind and then we turn and we go in a different direction and act differently. So when we analyze ourselves, are there things that we need to stop doing? Are there things that we need to stop thinking? Are there things that we need to work on? And this isn't a time to beat yourself up. It's a time to take a smart, common sense look at our own lives and see where we are standing, where we can improve, not because we need to improve for us, but because we need to improve for God. We need to improve for others. And so take the time today to reflect on the priorities in your life. Is God first? When I say God first, I'm talking about the great commandment. I'm talking about love the Lord your God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Are we doing that? Is that what we're doing? I mean, no matter what goes on around the world, our mission in our church is go and be the church. Love the Lord your God with all hearts, our mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. What that looks like will be different from time to time and throughout the ages. And so look at your life through the lens of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Then you will see things the way God wants you to. The Great Commission, going out and preaching the gospel to all areas of the world, whether we do it online or whether we do it personally. So those are the things that we need to look through the lens of when we're analyzing ourselves, when we're seeing what God sees. And at that point, when you do that, you realize what's most important in your life. And remember that repentance is the realization that you are not the person you thought you were. So recognize that. Repentance is realizing that you are not the person you thought you were. But walking daily with Christ is the realization that you are not the person you used to be. Do you see what we did there? Walking daily with Christ, you are not the person you used to be. You recognize and repent that you're not the person you thought you were, but then with Christ, you recognize, I'm not the person I used to be because I have His empowerment. And that's the key right there. Because when we surrender to Jesus, He molds us into what He wants us to be. And what could be better than that? So let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can come and we can meet together no matter how we meet. And I thank you that we can look at your word and we can understand certain aspects of what we need to do. And I thank you. And I just pray that we will recognize this discipline of repentance, that we will recognize that we need to recognize what we're doing in our lives, what we're doing that is sinful, what we're doing that are wrongdoings. And I just pray that throughout that, we will recognize that we aren't the person we thought we were, but we are definitely not the person we used to be because of Jesus Christ. So help us recognize that as we go throughout our week, whether we're in quarantine or we're able to get out. And we just pray for all those emergency service workers, doctors, nurses, first responders, and anyone who's dealing with all that, care workers, all of those. We just pray for their safety, and we pray that there will be a vaccine that is created sooner rather than later. And just be with those families that are grieving, be with those families that are struggling and going through tough times. Help us to be that light in this world that we need to be for those that need you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? God bless you. I hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday.